This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Testing, 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 testing.
We are recording from a shed. A shed in a pub.
My old man said,
now it's time for Twitter with Tony.
April 30th. Stay hungry, stay mediocre. There is not such talented thing for most people. Only consistent, devoted, hard working can bring real confidence. May 1st. I wish all these kinds of so-called journalists can make a new professional term. Jerknalist. Hashtag VTD. May 1st. The truth and value of journalism is all about truth and justice. But those jerknalists can only live with making rumours and ipsation. Ipsation, come again. May 1st. Planning on several projects in Birmingham, bringing experience of hundreds of smart cities we did. Do like work with local partners to make city better.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. And joining me this week is the chairman of Heineken, Dan Rogers. Welcome, and thank you very much for your free drink offering.
That's no problem. Please make sure you collect it within the designated time.
You got like 5-10 minutes?
5-10 minutes with your voucher. So it's good if you could take your coupon. Only if you're looking at collecting a beer complicated.
What kind of beer do you like?
Heineken.
Heineken? Fuck that shit!
And this offer's only available to season ticket holders. There are some season ticket holders that are exempt for this free drink at Villa Park against Brighton, and that's those fans that were cheering for Blackburn and wearing Blackburn shirts in the away end last week.
Hang your heads in shame.
No beer for you. Sorry, I forgot to explain at the start. This is one of our casual podcasts where we meet in a bar, or in this case, a shed.
We're in the former home. If anyone knows Moseley, they've dismantled, we think, the Tiki Bar. So, Tiki Bar lovers, you're going to have to find a new home for summer 20.
No, it's still there. It's moved. No, it is. The cocktail bar's there.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just...
It's been remodelled.
Have a look at that. They've got that guy that does the Muhammad Ali street art is put something up there. But we'll have a look at that later and report back.
But the long and short of it is we are in a shed.
Yes. the little shed thing that they hire out for private parties.
Not the wine shed either. They wouldn't entrust us with the wine shed.
Or the cigar shed.
No.
Anyway, we soldier on. So this isn't the actual fully fledged podcast. This is more a
can you tell?
Casual meet, because to be honest, after that performance against Blackburn, I couldn't be asked to sit up all night editing Negatron. Yedinax Jungle and all that kind of stuff. We'll do that next week. Before we get into this, if you want this podcast to return in the new season while apathy reigns, Good God, it's hard for me to get out of bed and do my old man set under the current climate of football. But please do tell your closest fill of friends about it, and obviously retweet it and share it and get it out there, because although we get a decent amount of listeners, we need more to kind of really justify it and become a patron.
Get involved.
Go to myoldmansaid.com, click on the patron link. You can access the menu bar on mobile by the left-hand side, the little box with the three lines in it, and that will help support the show, and we'll continue this.
Possibly, maybe.
Negatron alert, journalists questioning our imperious leader. Discredit them! Jerknilist!
Right, Blackburn defeat essentially meant nothing.
Pointless end of season game alert.
Well, this whole idea, well, let's lose on purpose to help the Blue. Well, they were going to lose anyway. Come on.
Yeah, we won four games away since Genesis, I think. Ah, dear me. This is what it's become, being an Aston Villa fan.
Well, I like the fact that Bruce actually pointed out that two of those wins were against the bottom three. And he wasn't very happy. I mean, there was the transcript was readily made available by the Birmingham Mail. And all these people who actually support Bruce full on, but and then make out that anybody who asks questions is negative. What do you think about Steve Bruce's comments?
Well, considering we've beaten two of the bottom three, we couldn't manage to beat the other bottom three team, could we, really? The thing about it for me is, I don't mind, no one minds losing, but we could have at least tried to have won that football match. Don't you think it would have been nice that, at least for the 6,500 people who could be bothered to go to Lancashire and...
Well, this is the point. I mean, they make a thing on social media before the game and obviously in the pre-match press conference. Oh, there'll be 6,500 people travelling up. Yeah. We're going to put in a performance for them. We owe it to them. This happens every week. They say the same thing. And then what's the performance?
That's the thing that really irks me, is that I don't... Yes, that's people's hard-earned money, and that not...
And they dressed up in fancy costume, and they cost extra money as well.
That was a good Donald Trump mask, though, wasn't it? Great, but the fans make this, and that's the thing that I think football, not just Aston Villa, football needs to wake up to the fact that there are die-hard people here. You know, some people will go rain or shine, but don't take the piss. Don't just be on the beach, but try.
This is the second game in succession where we've only forced one corner in a game.
That's damning. And
in terms of statistics, corners show actual effective kind of dominance of a game. It means you're kind of forcing the issue. And of course, people say, well, it's better, it doesn't matter how much possession you've got, it's what you do with it. And corners are kind of an indication of that, because at the end of the day, okay, it doesn't matter if you've had 30% possession or 70% possession, but if you've had 10 corners compared to one, you've got 10 times more chance of scoring. Corners are, you know, it's a viable chance.
Well, scoring, particularly away from Villa Park, fact alert, we've scored less than Rotherham. I think we're the lowest away scorers in the whole division, aren't we, with 14 away goals this season.
Bruce, his first game against Wolves, he commented this essentially wasn't good enough and they made mistakes that should never happen.
Yep.
And to be fair, he hasn't been glossing over the fact, you know, compare him to Paul Lambert, who would say, you know, we go again, the lads did great. And whatever the result, it was the same mantra.
Yeah.
But Bruce, win, lose, or draw, has commented on the performances not being good enough. Even fans are just happy to win ugly or whatever. But Bruce has spelt it out. And this time, I think he went up a notch and was, you know, I think he was pissed off, to be honest.
I think he was pissed off. I think that the other thing is, you wonder whether, prior to Keith Wyness dropping his angry tweet, whether a conversation had been had, to be honest, because, yes, this is the end of the season. Yes, there's nothing riding on it for Aston Villa. But actually, I imagine the owner and the chief executive are looking at their investments at this point going, hang on a minute, we're absolutely depending upon these people. And Bruce is the one who, to be honest, regardless of what you think about him or how he'll do for Villa, he must be looking at some of them thinking, at least put a shift in.
But the thing is, I mean, Bruce has been saying it in the press, and then when the fan consultation group met him in January, he said exactly the same thing. Any points that we were bringing up, criticism or, you know, observations, he was, let's say, you know, multiplied them by two. So he knows exactly the problems. Thing is, we've had 30, coming up to 35 games after Brighton, where it's enough time for a manager to actually start to remedy some of the problems. And he's brought in his own players. He had some good players in place already, like Codger, Chester.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but the book has to start landing at his own 2 feet.
What do we not know about Bakuna and Gardner? What more do we need to see? Because we're not resting players at this stage of the season. What are we expecting to see to say, hang on a minute, they're going to form part of next season's promotion push? Maybe performances, if there is a positive off the back of Blackburn, will be the full stop on their Villa careers. That people will, that will be, you know, in the last podcast I said that I believe that there's 6 or 7 changes or turnover in the squad that's going to have to happen. Games like that, they reinforce it for me. We haven't got the squad depth and near enough quality for this year.
I mean, you're right. People seem to be too sentimental about very bang average players.
Why?
I mean, sorry, but this Hutton revolution, get Bree in there. Let him play so he gets better, because he's the future. Bakuna, WTF. Get him out there. Get Hourihane in there, because he needs the games to develop himself into the bloody future of Villa.
Well, they need to be blooded, these players. And the other thing is, I wonder, are they not the next crop in the academy who brimming to break into the first team? Or are these players not there? Is that the other thing? Because I just don't see... look at Newcastle. Look how they've sought promotion. I don't think it's necessarily been pretty, but they're going to go up 30 points ahead of us.
Yeah, at least. And I think last season we were only like 20 odd points behind them, and now we're actually we're getting worse, people. Or Newcastle are getting amazingly better.
No. It's not that. This is that's the frustration for me for this season. I think that we could have got up there, and I wonder if we'd have just been a bit cleverer with our managerial appointments and a bit more shrewd in our initial recruitment, that we could have steadied the ship. It was a crash out the Premier League, but it wasn't, you know, Newcastle crashed out the Premier League, not as spectacularly as Villa, but in as much disarray.
Yeah, and you know, I always bring up the example of Sunderland, and they started the season after they finished bottom on 15 points, which was a record at that stage. The next season, they didn't really have a proper manager in place. They just got the new owners in with the Niall Quinn was involved, and he actually had to begin that season as the manager. And then Roy Keane came in and took them to the Championship title. Now, I'm sorry, but Villa's situation was no worse than that, surely.
No,
so it's not impossible. And then one more thing.
They're just excuses, aren't they?
Yeah, the excuses have
they're
been...
just excuses.
Have been ridiculous. I mean, from fans, mostly. Fans with little ambition, it seems. But the other issue is, I can't believe how poor this division is in terms of football.
Well, that's the kicker that I've said before. I think teams have to play a certain way to get out of the league, but I still think that good football and back-to-basics football is very, very successful. Look at the success that Codger's had. Not, you know, very direct, very straightforward goal scoring. You know, he's got some great technical ability. But you look at the success stories across the division. Brighton have just been methodically ploughing forward, relentlessly, really. And you look at some of, you know, both them and Newcastle have took defeats along the way, but have just had enough.
It's like they like go forward, they attack, and so they're like
Brighton
the big,
particularly.
So they're like, you know, in terms of boxing terms, they're like the big puncher. They may not have a great chin, like Newcastle have got beaten, got beaten a few times, but
they started
equally.
Very
they've banged away all the Mexican road sweeper teams.
which used to be
a common phrase in boxing, but I don't know if it's kind of un-PC nowadays.
I don't know. Are we like?
I'm sure Trump.
Are we the Klitschko? Are we the ambling older gent in the division who's pretty confident in his abilities that he's just going to wander in and do this?
But Klitschko put in a really good shift against Joshua, and he got a lot of respect, and I don't think we've got any respect from anybody at the moment.
We're more of a Ricky Hatton, aren't we, in between fights, ballooning up and...
Yeah, but no, we're Tyson Fury at 45 stone.
Fury perhaps... That's what simmers within us.
I like Fury. He's like an old gangster. He's kind of sitting there doing his Instagram videos, lying in his bed, you know, 35 stone or whatever. But his hair's kind of growing back. He's like James Gandolfini in The Sopranos. He's got this raspy voice because his voice is gone. It's brilliant.
I would never have made The Sopranos link personally between Fury.
I want to see him. I want to see him back. I'd like to see him against...
I want to see him in the dugout.
I want to see him against Deontay Wilder. That would be the first fight I'd like to see. Anyway, back to Villa.
Oh, do we have to?
You've got Brentford are going to finish higher than us. The pub team will finish higher than us this season without... And we took their best player off them in January. Like, we took their main goal-scoring threat.
And they've just kept scoring as well.
And they just managed to, like, improve and finish above us. And all these excuses that we can come out with.
Negatron alert. Villa strike force compromised. Codger broken ankle. And nobody passes to Hogan. Play for 0-0 draw. Repeat. Play for 0-0 draw.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back to the latest excuse, and that's Codger's injury. There's a cruel irony there. Cause
the suspension you're going to mention, aren't you?
If we did not win that appeal, or if it wasn't granted, he'd be fit already.
How Villa is that? That we win the appeal.
Totally Villa.
And then in the game that he comes back from, he gets nailed. I mean, what the... If there's one thing I do sympathise with Villa managers on, we've had some horrendous injury luck over the last couple of years, haven't we? If there's a player who's got injured, it's been long-term, hasn't it?
But I think, most teams have this kind of...
seem to have like a roulette wheel of injury. It's not like, not injured, 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 not injured. It's just like, injured, but how bad? And they spin the wheel, and it's... Because the other thing about Codger's injury is it's not just a broken ankle wear or a fracture where they go, a few weeks in plaster gets better, people are going...
Oh, we have had some long-term ones,
so yeah, I agree. That's what I mean. And it's never like, a bit of a tight calf or something. It's always, has to be destroyed, doesn't it? Whatever part of the body.
I mean, I think I mentioned last time... The blessing in disguise of Codger potentially being out as it was for 3 games would be to give Bruce 3 games to actually formulate a way of getting Hogan involved and actually having a more progressive way of attacking. Of course, we won the appeal, not a bad thing necessarily.
Is this where we should terminate the loan deal of Ross McCormack, wheel him onto the pitch, and with his inflated, calloused face, he could score the winning header against... Is that not...
No.
And then I woke up. So maybe should we spend him 12 million?
So what's the way forward in terms of the striking situation? Do we have to go out and punt another 12, 15 million on another striker?
What's the point that we need to start feeding the strikers that we've got? Because Codger's got that similarity with Benteke where he actually makes quite a lot for himself.
Yeah.
There's some good assists from Adoma in there. But look at Hogan. Hogan makes some really clever runs in the central channel and we just don't feed the guy. Have we looked at how he scored his goals at Brentford and said, right, we're just going to replicate that? I've not seen anything. I do think we're very negative in midfield, though. Lansbury's too deep. Jedinak's practically a centre half.
I think the only thing negative about Aston Villa, and that's
you,
we're talking about fans, websites, supporters, if you think supporters are different from fans.
Negatron.
It's the way they play.
Yeah,
full
yeah.
stop.
I mean, we all fell in love with football because it was exciting regardless of what the outcome was. And particularly as a kid, you went for the thrill of everything, didn't you? And it started to sound like jumpers for goalposts. Yeah. But how sanitised has a lot of the football become? It's a fear of defeat almost paralyses us to want to be, take the risk. Look how our midfield plays. It's almost zonal midfield. They don't burst beyond there.
To be honest, I haven't watched much Premier League footage, but I did go to the League Cup final, and just watching Southampton play, I was like, wow, this is different from what I've been watching at Villa Park. Totally. In terms of the ramifications of Codger, I think a good team. Look at the teams that we've taken their best player off. And they've managed to survive. So if Codger's our best player, it shouldn't be an issue. A good team has a good team, not a player.
That's
unfortunate if you lose Jedinak or cod you to injury. In the scheme of things, it shouldn't really kind of take you away or defer you away from the big goal.
But we've talked about our plan B, haven't we, that's the case. We're sort of trying to mould together a team. We're not sure what that team is. But you take one pivotal part out of that and the House of Cards sort of falls in, doesn't it? You know, when Jednak's not there, we look incredibly vulnerable. When Codger's not there, we don't have any goals in the team. And that's baffling because you're swapping players in, but there's so little flair. Maybe it's flair that we're lacking. There's not that. And yet in Lansbury, all I saw before was a flair player, and Hourihane was bleeding assists. Hogan was bleeding assists as well as goals. And that's a real... What are we doing? And that says to me, coaching.
It's got to be coaching and the manager. I mean...
You don't become a bad player overnight.
And we see it with our own eyes, the way Villa set up. Yeah. And we see some of the kind of baffling kind of formations. What's Bakuna doing over on the left wing? On the right wing, and then Adoma's playing on the left wing. Is that against QPR?
Yeah, we've had this sort of strange...
Bruce has not played players in their best position, the positions that he brought them into the team for.
Well, that's been the peculiar thing with the midfield as well, is that we had this peculiar half rehabilitation of Amavi into a wide attacking come tucked in. I'm still not sure what it is now, but we saw some of his best performances in that, but he was limited as well because no one's really sure what his role is. And that I look at our midfield and I wonder how many of those players are the same. What is Bakuna's role other than to run around and harry? What is Gardner's trait
What's Grealish's role in the context of getting the best out of him?
He's vulnerable this summer, I think, to being replaced.
Yeah, we've spoken about him a lot. But the irony is, there's been these players' videos, the Villa social media content team have put out, where they interview the Villa players about certain things, and they always say who's the best in training. Pretty much, most of them say Jack Grealish as being the best technical player.
Yeah,
which
but
we never see Jack Grealish apart from fleeting glimpses of what in the world of football. Why do they revere him to be good? Like in terms of England under-21s,
he must have something, mustn't he? And is he going to be one of those players who, for many years at youth level, is the next big thing? Because there's plenty of England under-21 teams that I bet if you look 10, 20 years back, how many of those players went on other than your Rooneys, your Gerrards? Even if they were included, because a lot of these players will mature physically 18 plus, won't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, that England under-21s, England under-23s as it is now. You know, look at the Villa under-23 team. It's already begun this year, the amount of players being released. Well, that's your measure, isn't it? How many of those actually graduate to the senior team?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens over the summer, but...
You get a free pint at the weekend, though, David.
They've kind of...
Don't forget.
They've pinned their colours to the mast on Bruce. I mean, I heard rumours that he got the job because out of the three targets, one was Sean Dyche, the other one was Wagner. He was the only one who would sign the clause that if they didn't make the playoffs, they could get rid of him, I think, with zero compensation. So that's why I think he took the job. But also, I mean, you've got to factor in the other two had jobs and they were in...
Yeah. Compensation
teams in
well.
Better position as well, and you've got the compensation situation, so you can't really, you know, read into that too much. But
I think Bruce will look back on it, and he will see this as
I think he's
a failure.
He's failed,
he'll be really disappointed with it because.
And you know, I'm not saying Bruce out or whatever. I'm just saying.
I bet you, if you look back at his history, particularly getting teams out of the division or improving them, annoyingly, with Blues is a good example because he took them from 15th and absolute nowhere to playoffs and beyond. That's the frustration. I think we are better equipped than we've got to be better equipped than a Hull were. We've got to be better equipped than a Blues were.
But this is a different kettle of fish because Villa's not Hull, Wigan, and Blues. I mean, they're teams that, you know, they're kind of punching above their weight, and that's the kind of team.
Am I caught up in the Villa team on paper sort of mentality where I'm looking at the Villa players and I'm thinking
the Villa in terms of the bank balance where they've spent over 80 million on these turd words.
You such a fucking 80 million quid.
But no, Bruce, he's got to improve. He's got to improve the way they play because you can sign. They can keep signing players. My eyes are going to roll now because they made the right purchases, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Hourihane, Lansbury, all rational. Bree was good.
We've got no answers.
Jednak,
got no answers.
Good. You know, McCormack
he
even.
He's as baffled as us. He's
McCormack, I didn't think he was at the value, at the price they paid, I wouldn't have bought him.
I see why we bought him, not for the money.
It's not my money, so if we're going to get him in, can spend 100 million on him or 2 million. If he's in, he's in. But that
McCormack.
The bottom line is, logically, they've made so many right steps, but maybe it's just spending big time and just spending your way out the division wasn't going to work. Because suddenly, if you're
change
getting...
Change takes
time.
Getting,
yeah, but if you're getting paid three times the amount you were getting paid at, like, Barnsley or whatever, suddenly you're slightly demotivated because you're kind of... You've hit pay dirt. Mm-hmm. So there is that factor. It maybe takes the thirst out and changes you because suddenly you're thinking about buying yachts or whatever, whatever. But anyway, free pint against Brighton for season ticket holders. What happens after the free pint? Do we get to see Brighton celebrate the league title?
Well, they'll be pouring their free Heineken into their trophy. And
Heineken? Fuck that shit!
And parading it annoyingly around Villa Park.
I mean, if,
oh
if,
no, do we get Lap of Honour? I love Lap of Honour.
Well, they cancelled it. Last time, I mean,
that's what I mean. I love it.
I helped advise them not to do it last season.
We should have paraded Jolyon Lescott. We should have paraded
his corpse. I mean, there's a school of thought because of our social media rivalry with Newcastle. We want Brighton to beat Villa because then Newcastle won't win the title, which is. It's going back to the trend of Blackburn beating us. I don't give a fuck about who wins the title
really
now.
Doesn't
I don't
matter,
care
does
about
it?
The
no.
Blues, whether they're up or down. I mean, the thing about the Blues is Villa, certain fans who, that's it for them. It's beating the Blues and finishing mid-table in whatever league we're in.
I put a line that our aspirations shouldn't be beating our minnow neighbours because they're a smear on footballing history and we're supposed to be... We're supposed to be...
Regardless of your...
Listen, I want to sit on the fence on this one. You know, we don't need their manure-ridden trotters to be underlined.
No, but the bottom line is...
We're bigger than
that
this.
That was the only big game this season. That was the only big game.
Gabby won it.
If we're in the Championship, then you might as well have the Blues there. But I'm not really bothered what division the Blues are. Because
don't matter. It matters about Villa.
That sorts itself out. Whichever way, it makes no imprint on my life. But... Villa need to be in the Premier League, and they're not going there at the moment. And we're going into next season, and it doesn't matter what PR the Birmingham Mail put out
for their
biggest advertiser, Aston Villa, and all you know, all the emojis that the Villa marketing department can put out. Villa have got to start being more effective and winning games. You know, they've got to clear out the Bakunas.
I can't wait for Tyson Fury to be in charge.
Yeah, we're going to get Tyson Fury on the podcast. He's going to host it.
It'll be more coherent, which doesn't say a...
Anyway, until next time, and we will have a proper podcast show. This is one of the 0.5 easy Prince of Wales shed sessions.
It's a summer house. Is that what you call it?
Summer house? Yeah. Maybe we should take a picture and put it up so people know what the hell we're talking about.
You didn't know it's a shed.
It is a shed.
It's a good shed.
It's a big shed. It's got a big TV in it. And a leather bench. I'm sure some of our listeners may have been here, since it is a very popular pub, one of Birmingham's finest. Anyway, until next time, it'll be the end of the season, the next
Hooray!
Time we speak. Thank God for that.
And into our promotion season, David.
It's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said...
Raymond, where's the fucking beer, man? Right here, Frank.
You want me to pour it?
No, I want you to fuck it. Shit, yes, pour the fucking beer.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.